Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. Hey guys, are you familiar with the Black Madonna? Well, I wasn't, and that's why I'm having Alessandra Bellini on the show today. Bellini, I think it is. Well, she'll tell me which way it is. And we're going to talk about her new book, Healing Journeys with the Black Madonna, Chant, Music, and Sacred Practices of the Great Goddess. I was blown away, and I'm quite sure that you will be too. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insights to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. But you know, I always ask the question, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners. Intuitive since birth, I'm a third generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I am the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Men and Money book, and Masterful Choices, the Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the absolute fullest. Now, my clients say that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, MoniqueChapman.com, and I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. My guest today, Alessandra Bellini, is a world-renowned percussionist, singer, dancer, and actress born in Rome. Now, she was voted one of the best female percussionists in the world by Drum Magazine, and she designed a signature series of tambourines for Remo Inc., and she is the founder and lead performer of, say that band name, girl.
I Giulari di Piazza.
There we go. And it's an Italian music, theater, and dance ensemble. It is an artist in residence and is an artist in residence at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York City. Now, she teaches workshops in healing retreats around the world, and she lives in New Jersey, of all places. Now, again, her book is Healing Journeys with the Black Madonna, Chants, Music, and Sacred Practices of the Great Goddess. And, folks, this is a great book. I knew nothing of the Black Madonna. I heard of her before, but I really didn't know what she was. And in this book, you get a lot of information, and we're going to dig down deep into some of that information, and we're going to leave some of it for mystery. But welcome, Alessandra.
Thank you. It's an honor to be with you, really. I'm very happy.
Oh, well, thank you. It's an honor to be with you, too. Now, how do you say your last name correctly?
So, it's interesting. My last name is Belloni, but you pronounce the last name of my ex-husband, which was Bellini, so...
You made a mistake,
but not really a mistake.
Okay, I'm getting both of you. Okay.
Yeah, somehow you came through.
Okay, so folks, we can check out her website, and that's alessandrabelloni.com, alessandrabelloni.com. Wonderful book, absolute wonderful book. As I said, I knew nothing about the Black Madonna, who she was. I mean, I heard snippets, you know, through my life, but really never delved deep into it. So, who was or is the Black Madonna, I should say, and what led you to her? You know, because it seemed to happen way back when at your first communion. So, talk to us.
Yeah, well, the Black Madonna is many things, so it's not easy to explain it shortly. I'll do it my best. As you see, the book is 432 pages, so it took a lifetime to get deep into her tradition and meaning. I grew up in Rome, as you read, but I did not have a direct experience with the Black Madonna, but with the Madonna thanks to my mother, who was devoted to Mary and received the miracle during World War II by the Madonna, who saved her life, and then my mother saved her mother's life. But when I started to do this music from the south of Italy with the company that you announced before, I Giullari di Piazza, then I was traveling the south of Italy, and I saw, because it's, you know, the devotion is through drumming, dance, and chanting, I was doing research on the music, and then I saw all these beautiful churches in the middle of nature, usually by the sea or sacred mountains, and I saw the devotion was very, very strong, and many miracles happened in the churches where the Madonna was black. These were not the Madonnas that you see, you know, in Florence or, you know, other parts of Italy or all over the world, blonde hair and blue-eyed. No, no, these statues were very black, and all the paintings were dark brown. And then I felt a real calling from them. I knew it was a mystery because the priests, when I asked, they didn't tell me the truth. They said either she's black because she's black or it's the candle smoke. So I knew not telling the truth because, you know, their clothes are white or blue or red, so only the... They were trying to hide the true meaning of the darkness. So in my research for the music, I continued to do research on the Black Madonna, but what I found was that they were churches built over temples that existed in pre-Christian times, dedicated to different goddesses, and they're all black goddesses. Cybele from Anatolia, and Diana, the goddess of the moon, but the main one that embraces them all is Isis from Egypt, and then it's also the connection to Africa and the African mother. But, you know, that was my scholarly research, so to say. You know, I was participating in the drumming and the dances and, you know, all-night ceremonies that induce trance as well, but the real vision came when I was ill and she appeared to me after my surgery. I had cancer cells of the cervix. And it was a frightening experience. The surgery was the conization of the cervix. And when I woke up in the recovery room, I had this beautiful, clear vision of the Black Madonna over my bed, embracing me, protecting me and telling me that I had to follow her path and I was going to feel other people's pain and the pain of the earth. And in my, I mean, at that moment, it was beautiful, but I didn't know what it meant. I was very young, but I decided to really go deep into it. And then I returned to Italy and I started the journey to go from place to place to learn about each Black Madonna, because there are many, 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 and many traditions, and the devotion is really strong. And then it came also clear that she represents the womb of the Earth Mother. And so there's a lot of symbolism, a lot of meanings, but they're all about healing and transformation and connecting to the African roots as well.
Okay, so why was the energy of the Black Madonna so suppressed by the Catholic Church? I mean, you talked to the priest and you felt the priest wasn't being upfront with you. Why is it because the skin wasn't white?
Yes, it's two things. The Vatican, you know, back in centuries, right? They decided when they honored Mary as Mother of Christ, back in the year 431, they knew the first Marys were painted dark brown by painters that remember Mary and Jesus, who were North African. They were dark. There's no way they could have been blue-eyed and blonde hair like they want us to believe. That's impossible. At that time, we know now there is a lot of evidence about that. So there are two things. First, they decided to change that image of the darkness of Mary and Jesus, and also to suppress the devotion to the pre-Christian goddesses, which were the first mother and child, especially Isis, which was a black goddess. So by doing that, of course, there was an act of racism on the, you know, from the Vatican and all the, you know, and all the priests, the cardinals, the bishops, and all that, and also to repress an ancient devotion to the Great Mother as black, and also a matriarchal society, because in those ancient times, people lived more under matriarchal societies than patriarchal.
Okay. Well, you know what? I said I don't know much about the Black Madonna, but what I did hear way back when was, well, that was Mother Mary's interpretation in the southern part of Italy, and that's all that there was. No, you know, I'm like, okay, well, that doesn't make sense, but, you know, it is what it is. Now, you said that the Madonna vision came to you when you were in the hospital, and I believe that was around 1986. But before that, you share a story of your mom, and I think it was your grandma, together. There was the war, I believe, and the building was being bombed and exploded, but your mother grabbed the picture that she had of the Black Madonna, and because of that and the Madonna's healing or protection, they survived. So tell us a little bit more about that. I found it fascinating.
Yeah, I grew up with this, and it's as if I lived it. My mother had gifts of clairvoyance, especially through dreams. So the night before the bombing of Rome, so I don't know if you're aware that during World War II, Rome was not supposed to be bombed because of the Vatican. It was supposed to be a neutral city. But the Nazis had a settled right near where my mother lived, so that's the only section that was bombed because of by the train station. So she had the premonition dream of the explosion of her building, and in the dream she had the vision of their Madonna. They had a painting at home called La Madonna della Strada, the Madonna of the Street, and she was hanging on to that painting and was saved. So she shared the dream, but people didn't believe her because Rome was supposed to be untouched. And then the bombing began, and the explosion came, and she was in it with her family. She woke up, you know, after being a, you know, pretty much she was flying with the explosion of the building. She woke up holding the painting of the Madonna with her two younger sisters, but then her mother was not there. And then she had this incredible force. She was only 25, to look for her mother, and then found the ring, the hand of her mother sticking out of the, you know, the debris, the ruins, and with the ring of the family. And that's when she realized her mother may still be alive, because she saw the hand move, and she digged and saved her life. She took her out of that by herself. So it's, my grandmother was alive. She had lost her legs at 42 years old, and then my mother put her on a truck full of Nazis to bring her to a hospital. And then it became kind of a, you know, she became known for a short time that the Queen of Italy gave her a gold medal and some money because of her being such a hero of war. Mm-hmm. And it's thanks to the Madonna that she did that, because she always said that. And then so I grew up with her saying, pray to Madonna, I say, pray to Madonna, because she actually then had a pretty rough life with my father. She married up actually during that time, but that's what gave her energy and strength throughout all her life. And then I believe I'm the only one who inherited in the family that gift of communicating with Mary directly. That's what she used to say to me, you know. It's like a privilege, I would think. My brother and sister do not have that.
Oh, wow.
Well,
it's always different. It's always interesting how people just grow up, you know, with different energies, I guess, attracted to them. Why did you write this book? Why was it important to get this information out there?
Very good question. It's my life's journey, my life's work. So as you know, it's a process of 35 years. And then I started it when my mother was still alive. Then I stopped, and then I decided to write it for her in her memory, which she's not alive anymore. But I felt this push in the last 3 years because I think we're living in a crazy time of I believe there are people in power that are really evil, and the condition of women, the fact that women, you know, women's wombs are continuously being violated. It's like the womb of the earth, which is in danger. Mm-hmm. So that's when the Black Madonna comes in, and I've experienced that in my workshops, that she can heal and transform and help us come out of trauma. I think there's so many other problems going on, you know, that have to do with transgenders, of course, because Black Madonna in our tradition also embraces the gay and transgenders. Mm-hmm. And then the situation with racism. And I feel how when I decided to finish the book is, you know, when the Black Lives Matter became a movement, and I found out that I just had to finish the book now. Because mm-hmm. people in this country especially are not used to worship black images.
No, they hate black images.
No, and then, and, you know, I lead a pilgrimage to the south of Italy, to the Black Madonnas, and when people come, especially African-Americans or people of different races, they weep in front of these black images because they've never been told that the origin, which, you know, then I can go on more if you want to, by the end, about the origin of humankind and Madonna representing that, that it's black and it's not white. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important statement to make today. Hopefully, to shift how people think.
Well, hopefully it would shift how people think, but when was it back in time? Because I always ask this question of scholars. It's like, well, who died and made white people right? And I don't mean that with any disrespect, but there's different types of, you know, different shades of white, black, brown, yellow, green, whatever. And why is it that the energy of the anything less than white was suppressed to elevate the lighter colored skin based on your research?
From my research, it's directly connected to the patriarchal society, to repression of women, and to fear of the unknown, fear of women power, and fear of the strength of indigenous people, meaning even indigenous people in Australia, New Zealand, South America, and Africa, who have another power. And their power, from what I understand, because besides Italy, I travel around the world, thank God, with my work, and I realized, you know, that I've been guided always, I just didn't know it until recently, mm-hmm. that it was really to see how these people are way more empowered and enlightened because they connect to the spirit, to the divine, to what I believe is a female. And, you know, the original title of the book was God is a Woman and She's Black, but mm-hmm. they didn't use that title. But I think that would be the title of the film I want to do. So I believe very much, the more I travel, the more I see this, the white race has been afraid not only of the women power, but of the power of people that are indigenous, who communicate with the divine in a different way, you know, with drumming rituals, with what you can call magic, and they have another strength, another power, another knowledge. And I think it's really fear. It's out of fear of not being able to achieve that. Mm. And they probably, you know, the Europeans have forgotten that we used to have a similar culture. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the greed has made people think in a completely different way. I think it's also about greed.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting in this day and age, especially here in the United States, we have a man who occupies the White House currently. And I think if you are a tan piece of paper, he doesn't like you, much less anything, you know, deeper than that. And it's equally, I don't know, frustrating and amazing at the same time how racism, well, it's always been racism, at least in my opinion. And it was tamped down to a degree where it wasn't socially acceptable, if you will, to express mm-hmm. and to act out. But the tide has changed now where it's, you know, of course it's okay to hate people. Of course it's okay to demean people. And I don't quite understand how we can jump this chasm and get back to, you know, a human being's a human being, regardless of mm-hmm. the shell that they have on their body. With your work with, you know, the Black Madonna, what are your thoughts around that? Does the energy of the Black Madonna support accepting people for just whom they are, the package that they come in?
Yes. The most important aspect in the devotion, you can see it if you come to these processions or ecstatic rituals, is universal love, unconditional love. Mm-hmm. And I've seen people of all, you know, different backgrounds and different, actually, people with addictions, people who have been arrested, the gypsies, the outcasts, mm-hmm. they're all part of the same devotion. And the locals, the people in these towns where she's worshipped, they don't look at anybody that thinking you're strange. Not at all. Not mm-hmm. at all. Everybody's accepted because she's the mother of all. And I don't think I'm the only, by myself, I can make a shift in the United States of America, big country. But if there was a way that people could see that, that's why I think it would be great to have a film about it, because then you can see that everyone has access to her, everyone is embraced, and in these moments, in these processions, everyone is equal. Mm-hmm. And there are really, in southern Italy, there's a lot of different races right now, especially. There has always been. Italy's mixed with Africa. It's close, very close, right there in front of our eyes. Mm-hmm. And there is a procession, August 14th in Calabria, in the very deep south, where you see still the drummers play a 6-8 rhythm, which is African. It's mm-hmm. totally African, the same they play, for the Orishas, pretty much. In Nigeria or other places. Mm-hmm. Then you see the giant puppets come out doing this beautiful sensual dance of the African king falling in love with the Italian queen and embracing and kissing. So that's a real beautiful message of peace, of being together. And then the Black Madonna comes out. So all that has been done for devotion for now probably 1,300 years, over 1,000 years.
Okay.
So, what I mean is that if people could see that, it's really quite more simple than we think to be all together in peace. But you need that devotion. You need to know that she's our mother and we come from a black mother. So I don't think that's an easy statement to make for everyone. I don't think that's a statement I'm making, and I don't know how everyone is going to react. The book just came out. So.
Yeah, well, you provided a lot of information for people and allowing them to think, and that's what I like. I like to have thinkers on this show that think outside the box, which is something that you definitely do.
I think it is. And back when I started the research in the 80s, I remember talking about I was going to write the opera. I wrote an opera back in the 80s that we premiered in 1991 at St. John the mm-hmm. Line here, called The Voyage of the Black Madonna, and I was talking outside the cathedral in Siena, which is not even the south of Italy, where there's a Black Madonna, mm-hmm. and speaking with people that are from New York, white people that I knew from here, and they say to me in astonishment, "You mean to tell me that God is a woman and she's black?" And I say, "Yeah, that's exactly true." And it was only the beginning, then after all these years, over 30 years of research, mm-hmm. it's very clear, there is the myth of creation in the Mediterranean is that a black meteorite star fell from the stars, and in this version landed in Anatolia, in Turkey, and it was carved into the statue of the black goddess Cybele, and then brought to Rome under the prophecy of the Sibyl, the prophetess of the underworld. So already there, this is a very ancient myth. They're not acknowledging that beginning of life is female and it's black because the cosmos, that's where we come from. And then in the other places, like in Sicily, where there is one of the most ancient statues of the Black Madonna, Tindari, by the ocean and on mm-hmm. the mountain, you can feel the power of the earth moving and that it's alive and it's... The miracles really happen, I think, also because of that, and the fact mm-hmm. that the earth has a power to heal. But they say this statue came from Africa, and that's really clear. If you look at the statue, it looks very much like an African totem. Mm-hmm. And the inscriptions says in Latin, "Nigra sum sed formosa," translated, "I'm black and beautiful, I'm black but comely," from the Song of Solomon. Mm-hmm. That goes back to the Queen of Sheba, who was from Ethiopia. So connecting again to the African roots. So it's really right in front of your eyes. If people don't want to see that, they really are, in denial of this black origins that we have.
Yeah, well, that's United States and I guess parts of Europe too. Well, folks, we're speaking with Alessandra Belloni, and she is the author of Healing Journeys with the Black Madonna, Chants, Music, and Sacred Practices of the Great Goddess. You can check her out at her website, and that's alessandrabelloni.com, and that's alessandrabelloni.com. Alessandra, talk to us about the healing drumming and the dance traditions from southern Italy and how they are practiced today.
Yeah, there's a very special tradition we still have today. While in other parts of the Mediterranean and Europe, the devotion to the great goddess done through music and dance has disappeared, it's still alive. We use, in the area of Naples, and there are many, many black Madonnas around there, and I speak a lot about it in the book, we use the ancient tradition of the frame drums, the large tambourines, very big tambourines, playing a 4-4 rhythm, which is called tamorriata. And tamorriata just means drumming, and it's okay. Beautiful, beautiful, sensual dance done usually by couples playing castanets, and it symbolizes making love. And the lyrics are all very sensual, and they're about, you know, love and very erotic. And it's a continuation of these ancient fertility and orgiastic rites done for the goddess Cibele. And this was one of the most important goddesses in our culture, a black goddess of the earth. And if you go to Pompeii or other places, you can see frescoes and paintings that show this dance, the tamorriata, and people using this large frame drum, still done today exactly as it was then. So that's a real unique aspect of the tradition of the south of Italy. It's not done anywhere else, but it was popular in pre-Christian times in other places, but the Christian church repressed it, but they couldn't do that in the south of Italy. And this is a ceremony, it's a devotional drumming, and it goes on online long. So people enter kind of a state of trance, and they sing, drum, and dance all night. And this is how I learned. I made that my devotion, and also my vow to the Madonna is that I could do this and teach it to others. As I experienced healing, I felt, wow, this is not something just that is just Italian. I have to share it with others. That's been part of my mission. And then there is a devotion, as I was saying before, in Calabria, where they use snare drums and dance this very fast tarantella rhythm. And it's also done in honor of the Black Madonna, and that's, you know, very, very African, with circular dances, spinning dances, which is common in many traditions to spin around. You get rid of the venom or the poison in your body, which then connects to the tarantella, which I guess you read, it's the other very important healing dance of our tradition that I...
Talk to us a little bit more about the tarantella, the spider dance. Talk to us more about that.
So I have learned that again in my research, and I've done many rituals, you know, playing all night, bleeding and all that, and the tarantella goes back again to ancient Greece and the ecstatic rites of the god Dionysus, connected also to the mysteries of the goddess Cibele and Demeter. And when I realized the power of that when I was in Italy, I realized that I really wanted to write a show about it and perform it in America, which I've done. But then when I got sick again in 1991 and I was bleeding heavily and the doctors said that I was supposed to go back for surgery, I didn't believe in that anymore by then, and I decided to dance the spider dance, which is a very powerful, again, very sensual dance done on the floor, ceremonial dance with, you know, with white and red. And I had done it for performances, I studied it, I went to Puglia, but then I realized that reading all these women's stories that had been abused or repressed or depressed and curing themselves through the dance, I did it for myself, and it worked. My bleeding stopped immediately, and then I realized this is a very powerful form of cure and healing, because the tarantella was originally music and dance therapy back in the Renaissance. And I decided to experiment with others, and I started workshops with women, and it proved to be very, very efficient. You know, through all these years, I've helped a lot of women and some men to come out of trauma due to sexual abuse, because this dance really goes deep into that, you know, opening the womb, and really, if you let go of the mind, you can find out the body can let go of the trauma. So that's been my experience. So that's, again, part of my mission. But when I guide the ritual, I really feel the presence of the Black Madonna helping me. Otherwise, I couldn't do it. I don't have an explanation why I can do this. People tell me, oh, you're a shaman, you're curing people with the trance, and so it is shamanic, but I always feel it's not just me. It's impossible. She comes through.
Okay, well, you know, if she's there for you and you, you know, acknowledge and accept, it's amazing what we can heal, but it's truly just getting, you know, down to the nitty-gritty, if you will, in our belief system and, you know, what we're willing to bring into our body. Now, in the book, you have some chants and, you know, songs and all. How can we utilize some of this energy for our own self-healing and self-transformation? Because you do have the translations. You have it, I guess, in Italian, and then it translated into English. So how do we tap into this?
Well, that's really my aim. It's a book that I hope people can use as a tool. That once you read the journey that I went through, which has been incredible but not an easy one, as you see, by listening to the track and reading, I teach some of the rituals, because people that didn't grow up with this probably have no idea, you know, how to do an altar, how to pray, or do it in nature, or by the river, or by the sea. My intention is that people can tap into that. Learning the song, it's really important, because these prayers are really old. There are some that I've written, you know, through the years I've been inspired. But those chants, especially the ones that have the Lydian mode, the Neapolitan scale, already in pre-Christian times, Pythagoras and others speak that the Lydian mode can heal and calm the mind. So if people can tap into that, use the chant and that scale, especially from my experience, if people that are going through depression or loss, you know, somebody dies and you're feeling kind of lost or abandoned, those chants really can do that. They can calm the mind and help you. You know, people use a lot of Indian mantras and stuff like that, and the raga, the Indian scales are very similar to this. So I think people could really, if they do it right, can find a way through this chants to release sadness, depression. Or with the drum, I mean, what I think it's also the anger, you know, to let go of anger or aggression. That's all from personal experience. It has helped me immensely. Because drumming is really powerful.
I guess the next time I watch the news, I best have a drum so I can bang out all that anger and
frustration. Tell me about it. You and I, yes. I mean, I must say that after the elections of 2016, I was completely obsessed with finishing this book in time, you know, because I feel the same. You know, I feel like we're going through the Middle Ages, you know. I felt the same thing, that fear, a lot of fear, you know, from the evil people in power. And the fact that you feel powerless, even though I know people are fighting left and right, but in the ancient times, in the Middle Ages, when they were going through all this, you know, the plague and the wars, crusades, people got out in the streets with the Black Madonna statues, to process, drum, and danced to get rid of fear and to also stop the negativity from coming to town, which is, you know, it's called the musical exorcism. So I think if people want to follow that and listen to the track, they can use this, you know, I know that word sounds strange, but a musical exorcism is something that it's really good to get rid of poison and toxins. And I hope that music in my book can do that, can help people get rid of that. And you know, people read the notations, they can learn it also on instruments. But if people can also listen, follow the instructions. I do a lot of those rituals that are Afro-Brazilians, you know, to go by the sea and offer flowers to Yemanjá, Aphrodite is the mother of waters and origin of life, or Oshun, the goddess of the river. I think that your Earth Mother needs that to know that we still respect her, and she will give back. That I know. If people that are not familiar try to do those rituals, I'm sure they will have experiences like I've had, where things really shift in front of your eyes. I know people, you know, in the book I speak a lot about these things, that very unusual things that have happened, right? But they do happen. because, you know, Mother Nature, Mother Earth is alive. So if we honor her and respect her, she will give back to us.
Okay. Well, talk to us about the Black Virgin around the world. I know you talked about Southern France in your book. Mm-hmm. Even in the gypsies in India, Kali from India, oh, everybody tells me, oh, you're Kali man. I'm like, I'm who?
Oh, really? That's great. Well, Kali man is a very strong goddess, I guess you could say goddess, spirit, because she also destroys. And so even though I've not been to India, so that's why I wrote about places mm-hmm. where I've been to, because I like to speak about direct experiences, not just learned, mm-hmm. you know, by reading. But Kali is a very important aspect of the Black Mother because she can destroy and punish as well, which I think it's what's happening to the Earth right now. You know, that there are all these disasters, earthquakes and fires. Mm-hmm. That's really the force of Kali, showing us that she can be more, she's more powerful than we are.
Yeah, so and that, know. And sometimes I think it's like, okay, you got to bring up the darkness, negativity, whatever, to bring it to light, to heal it and move forward. And I think that's part of what's going on here in the United States politically and with the Brexit and Venezuela. I mean, it's worldwide.
Yeah.
This
it's
energy
worldwide.
Is just
absolutely.
Coming up, and it's time to deal with it, I think, and get over it.
Yeah, you know, talking about Black Madonnas, they are all over the world, so people may not be aware that all Catholic countries have a patron, a Madonna, which is a Black Madonna. There is no country that has a white Madonna as a patron.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really interesting, and that's, again, because the Vatican couldn't repress that devotion, and by doing that, they acknowledge her tradition. So in Italy, it's La Madonna di Loreto, in Spain, it's Montserrat, and in France, it's Chartres. But every country that is Catholic has a Black Madonna as a patron, and all over Europe, you know, Germany, Ireland. So that's fascinating. And then, of course, in South America. So, you know, I think if you are interested in this path and you start reading about it, you'll see she's everywhere. She's everywhere for a reason. For us to reach out to her and find, you know, the solution to what we're going through right now, which was the same in the Middle Ages. She became really strong in the Middle Ages when people were going through all this fear and turmoil and mm-hmm. wars and disease. I believe we're very much in the Middle Ages. Sorry to say, but I don't think we can forward. We got a little bit backwards.
Yeah,
and
well, go ahead. Okay. Now, if we decided to embrace the energy of the Black Madonna, how would we call upon her to help us? Say we're just, you know, for whatever reason, just out of sorts, nothing, you know, necessarily majorly heavy, but just out of sorts and looking to come back to balance. How mm-hmm. would we call upon her to assist us?
Well, first, I think if you're in the United States, you can search for a church that has a Black Madonna. All cities have that, because the Mexican Black Madonna, Guadalupe, that's a Black Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
The Polish one, Częstochowa, is a Black Madonna, and every city has that. I know that for a fact. New York is full of Black Madonnas.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be very good to locate a place of devotion where you live or near where you live. Even though you're not Catholic, it doesn't matter. Remember, that's the universal mother of all. And make that connection alone, you know, to really know when you see her, what happens to you, how you relate to the Black Mother. So I think that's an important thing, and I thought about that to write a guide where all the Black Madonnas are in the United States. I didn't have the time because of the deadline. I may do that later on.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you know, you can research and find a Black image of the Black Madonna, a statue or a painting, and make that your own, you know, make that your altar. I believe very much that the altar is important mm-hmm. in your space, and then start meditating on her, because she speaks to us. She's alive. In the book, I show a photo, right, of the black and white x-ray of a statue that looks like a woman alive.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can make that connection in your own space with an altar, and then if you find a church, even better, because you'd have a different experience there. and start doing the offerings, flowers, candles. And then if you enter that space where you can pray directly to her, you will hear her voice. And I'm not making this up. I heard her voice, you know, a long time ago. But I have now experienced that people that I take with me who have no clue of what mm-hmm. the Black Madonna is, come to these places of devotion, hear her voice clearly and telling them how to solve the situation, what to do next. That's really her power. And mm-hmm. I know, you know, now that I've taken so many people with me to have this experience, you know, some of them, of course, wrote me testimonials and all that, that it's really possible. And then you can follow her path. If she speaks to you, follow her, because she will come through. But you really have to open to her, to that image, statue, icon. You have to look at her. If you do it on your own, without that image, I don't think it's as powerful.
Okay, the connection won't be as strong.
No, because the fact is that whoever painted these paintings and the sculptures, mm-hmm. they really knew what they were doing. They were people who were initiated in the mysteries. Mm-hmm. And especially in the Middle Ages, you know, there's all these theories of how the people who made the sculptures, some were statues of the ancient goddesses that were just over, you know, with layers and layers on top of that, but they made them with the power. And it's, so it's not just worshiping an icon. They're alive. And that photo that I show in a book that blew me away in 2016, you know, I went to the same church where I speak about the African tradition with mm-hmm. the giant puppets, and I saw this black and white photo. I asked the people in the church, like, what is this? That's a woman. That's alive. And then they say it was the X-ray of the statue when they were trying to restore it, and they let it go. They never touched that statue, which goes back to the year 951, the way it is now. That shows you that there's a live energy in there, and that's why all these miracles happen. So I know it sounds, for people who are not, you know, familiar with this, it sounds a little crazy, but, you know, again, I'm talking about direct experiences, and if you can connect to her that way, she really can help. And especially people who are going through pain, people with addiction, people that are outcast, feel an immense nurturing love coming from her, feel accepted, and that's when their life shifts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you get to the critical point of shifting. Folks, I want to let you know that, you know, the book is replete with photographs. I mean, just about every other page seems to have a photograph. And in the middle, there's a beautiful color section. So if you are unsure what you may be looking at in real life, or you just want to get a clue, you can look at it. And the one thing that really struck me, Alessandra, was that when I looked at the pictures and I placed my hand over the pictures, I could feel myself going there, interacting with, energetically with it. And it was just a wonderful feeling. You don't always get that with, you know, photographs, but yours, it captured an energy. So congratulations on that.
Well, that's exactly what I wished for.
Oh, okay.
Saying that. Then okay. You must come.
Yes, I must, and I absolutely adore the pictures of everyone dancing. So real quick before we go, tell us about your music. I mean, that's a whole other side of you.
Right. I mean, my main, my profession ever since the 1980s, I made it my profession. I'm a singer, percussionist, and a folk dancer. So I devoted my life to the Southern Italian folk music, but then became more worldly, so now it's called world music. So I was always a singer. I always sang since I was a little girl, and that I consider still myself mainly a singer. Mm-hmm. And I have been inspired, though, for many years, ever since that experience in the hospital with the Black Madonna painting, vision of again a painting that I found later on, which is the one that I love the most, Our Lady of Freedom, which represents really the goddess Isis from Egypt. Then I found that my musical path changed and became more devotional and definitely spiritual, which brought me to be artist in residence at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. So even though I wrote songs and shows, performances as a director too of my theater company, then it became not I shifted from what I was doing before. It was a lot of comedy, Commedia dell'arte, the Renaissance street theater that I kind of mastered as a mm-hmm. in a training. Mm-hmm. It became spiritual ritual theater. So everything I've done ever after that has been dedicated to the healing power of music, drumming, and dance. And then later on, collaborated with indigenous people, the Native Americans in New York. I did in 1992 an opera called Earth, Sun, and Moon against Christopher Columbus. So mm-hmm. as an Italian, there was a real statement honoring the Native Americans and the similarities in our culture. And then later on, a performance production that I still do today called Drums of Illumination, which is a collaboration with great artists that are Native Americans, Southern Italian, and African, and African Americans, and Brazilians. So through drumming and dance, we bring our cultures together. That's a very clear message of peace. And the audience usually is super moved, and people cry, because you never see these cultures together on stage.
Right.
You know, it's very rare. And I'm glad, I must say, that living in New York, all this is possible. There are great artists here, mm-hmm. you know, the same on the West Coast. And the last one we did in December for the solstice, we had an incredible impact with the audience and the mayor of New York. Are you familiar with Mayor de Blasio? He's a great
yes.
guy.
Yes. Yeah.
And his wife is African-American. And I know him from way back, from the 80s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I performed at their wedding, which was very special, Southern Italian and African ceremony. And they came, you know, for the mayor and the first lady to come. You know, the Saturday before Christmas was an incredible honor, and they loved it, because that's what they are about. So I think there is hope. You know, if there are people like de Blasio and his wife, and there are, you know, and then us as artists to contribute to this, to the fact that with music and dance, and especially drumming, you can show that we are all one, that we can be together in peace. So that's my wish as a musician, to make that shift. You know, the book is a different impact, but the music is also really strong.
Okay.
And it's not just entertainment.
No, it's not. Yeah. Folks, you'll get a lot of information out of this book. If nothing else, it will widen your knowledge about the Catholic Church and Madonnas, and especially about the Black Madonna. And if you allow it, it will speak to you and transport you to, I'm going to say, other dimensions. And if you will also allow yourself to explore something different, you will be amazed at the healing effect that it has on you. So, Alessandra, I want to thank you for being with me today. I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation.
Me too. Hope to meet you in person.
Oh, I would
love West Coast. I have to come back to the West Coast.
Okay, well, I'm up in San Francisco. Where do you come when you come out this way?
I was just there three days ago. I come to Los Angeles and San Francisco. I would like to mention that an amazing best-selling author and a priest to Matthew Fox wrote the foreword mm-hmm. to my book, which is a big deal. And he lives in San Francisco, near San Francisco. So we just did a special presentation at the place called Her Church, mm-hmm. devoted to the goddesses and women, and it was fantastic. And he's coming here May 15th. So I think it's important to also have a man involved to shift the awareness and wake up men that are not ready to acknowledge God is a woman and she's black. Can I say that?
Yeah, you can say that here. This is a safe container for that energy, most definitely. Well, as I said, Alessandra, thank you for being with me. And the audience, thank you for joining us this evening. Thank you. As we collectively get over it and discover the Black Madonna, I'm truly honored and I appreciate your time and attention. Now, when you're ready to raise your vibration and shift your energy, give me a call. Intuitive consultations, 30 minutes or longer, are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself and make that call, 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of discovering the Black Madonna. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.